Welcome to the Spin Axis. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
This week, we're going to create a tier list, S, A, B, C, D, F, of training aids. I've come up with a list of 10. Tyson and Jason don't know what they are until we get to each one. The rules are simple, guys. We need unanimous agreement for the S and the F tiers, okay? So all three of us have to agree. I will stipulate that all training aids can be useful in the hands of an instructor with a student in the right situation. So this is not like, well, sometimes it can be really great for this or anything like that, Jason. It's not that, okay? It's just a student gets a training aid and like decides to try to use it kind of on their own. And you can consider and weigh whatever you want. You can consider the value, meaning the cost, the practicality, the odds of messing it up by using it wrong or messing golfers up. That said, you guys have any questions?
I don't think so, but this is feels like a lot of pressure for really early in the morning here. So I'm ready. Let's let's get this over, man. Yeah, I love this. This is cool.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's scroll to the first one. And it is an 8 or 10 foot putting mat. Just a putting mat, doesn't have to be this specific one. Just an 8 foot putting mat. What are you guys' initial thoughts?
Well, so as someone that's working on his putting, I instantly went, oh, I need this high. But if it's just for the general people, I mean, I do like that you can practice putting inside at any point, always working on start line and stroke and stuff like that. So I got it at least above a C to begin with.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I definitely don't think that this is a lower tier item, because if they're practicing their putting, that's always a great thing. Just as, again, as this little deal is going, how is a student going to use this by themselves? This is not me helping the student use it. I typically am thinking that students are just going to stand in the same spot. They're not going to move whatsoever. They're just going to roll putt after putt after putt, thinking that they're getting better. So I could see how they could sort of maybe use this in a non-conducive way. So I'm going to probably go with like a B.
I'm down at C, because an 8 foot putt means you have really a 7 foot putt, because nobody putts from the actual edge of the thing. Those are useful, and there's a good amount of separation in the 6 to 5 to 7 foot range between good players and bad players. But at the same time, it's a straight putt. You have lines on it sometimes, or usually. It gets boring fast. It ends up being something that people don't use. And who cares if you can just make a straight 6 foot putt? Because the first time you have a 6 foot putt out in the wild, it's probably not exactly straight, dead level, the thing you ostensibly practiced all winter.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm tempted to lean C. I think they sound like good ideas. I'm going to work on my short putts this year. But distance control is the most important thing in putting, and this doesn't help you with that at all.
Yeah, I don't see a lot transferring from these, like outside, especially just because the surface is perfect, right? It's not an imperfect surface like you're going to experience out on the course, even if you do have a straight, like you said, 7 footer. It's going to be a little different.
Okay, so Jason, what's your vote?
Man, I'm gonna stick with B, just because I think you can work on a lot of things.
All right.
Just let alone, like, you know, set up where your eyes are. Can you get the ball started on at least your initial line? But I mean, after that, I'd agree with you. But you know, the pros constantly working on those things. So if you can do 5-10 minutes a day, I still think B.
Tyson.
Yeah, I'm going to leave mine as a B as well.
All right, well then, 2-1, we'll put it in B, because I'm staying with C. Okay, number two, an orange whip, or like the heavy flexi, like the lag shot, or any of those training aids that have the heavy, they tend to be heavy, and they have a flexible, super flexible shaft.
Yeah, I'll start with this. I definitely like it for a pre-round warm-up. I like something heavier. I like
for stretching,
right? I like people to be able to feel maybe a little bit of load in their hands, even with the lag shot, which I have. And I do think it's a cool device. I think it's a great device for a lot of people. I just don't think a lot of people are going to use it sort of the right way. They're gonna not really be focused on their rhythm and tempo and only be concerned about hitting it good. I do like it overall. I think I would probably be in that C-ish, B-ish area at the start here.
Okay, Jason.
I'm in that C as well. So I have the lag shot, and I'll tell you that if a student wasn't supervised by a coach, even though it says it in the instructions that, hey, if that ball is going out to the right, something's not off, here's what you need to be doing, you know, working on your tempo and rhythm and all that stuff, they're just going to like put it away, and they're not going to like it, and they're not going to use it properly. That's my only concern with it. Just like, you know, the problem with most training aids is if you don't use them properly, then you don't get the benefit from them, and then what's the reason you bought it?
Yeah, I think Nick Price would hate the lag shot, and people with a faster tempo would hate it. So anytime I swing it, I lose 10 miles an hour because you almost feel like you have to. So
absolutely.
I'll go with C on that one. I might have put it a tiny bit lower. I think they're good for stretching, so I'll go with you on that. They're not great for carrying when you carry your bag or even use a push cart because they do weigh a lot. So leave it in your car when you go play the round. Number three on the list, okay, a smart ball or just the ball between your arms? This is the one that will annoy Jason because, you know.
Because I can't do it.
Remember, it's a student on its own just trying to, like, do whatever, not at the hands of an instructor. Jason, why don't you start this one? Because I know you're going to put it in whatever's above S tier.
Double thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, is that the E tier that I said that was there but is not there?
Yeah.
Oh, man, by themselves. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to have to go true Canadian fashion, just go in the most middle I can. I'm going to go with C plus tier.
You're going C on the ball? That's surprising.
Yeah, my issue is that I've seen people blow them up too much, even that one, or not put them properly in where it should be between the arms, and then it actually messes up more. Again, I'm trying to think if the general public are going to use it how they should.
Yeah, I think for me, just because, and we've talked about this, I think, multiple times on multiple different podcasts, like the biggest piece I see is just bad arm structure, just people bending their arms way too much and for multiple reasons. And I get it from some people have mobility issues. Like even if I had a player using this for 9-to-3s and maybe it's not perfect, I'm still going to really like it. So I'm going to put this probably towards an A.
All right, well, I'm going to split the difference and say B. I think it's not bad. My one issue with it would be people trying to squeeze their elbows together, like actively hold it in there.
For sure.
Because usually that results in them letting their elbows come apart on the downswing.
Yeah.
In my experience. So that's the one caveat that I have with it. So I guess we'll just go B on that then.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
I'm sure you've heard about the stack system on Instagram and podcasts like this one. Not only is the Stack an awesome speed training tool that has increased the clubhead speed of thousands of golfers, including many on all major tours, but it also includes an incredible putting app that drills you on the putts you miss most often, and the Stack recently added a tremendous distance wedge feature. You can get it all in one app. You hit it farther, you wedge it closer, and you make the putt. What more could you ask for? Check it out at thestacksystem.com and use the coupon code SPINAXIS to save 10%. The wobble boards. This one also annoy Jason.
Yeah, I'll start with this one. Let Jason sort of simmer on that for a second. Just used this with a guy yesterday, sort of a newer player, baseball player. You see it going back on his back foot like a lot of players do. And when I started to try to get him to feel the wobble board move left, like his whole head went 5 feet towards the target. So by themselves, if I could think of a player using this by themselves, I would probably put this down in the D, just simply because I don't think they're going to use it right. Not because I don't think it's necessarily useful.
Jason.
Oh man, again, it's the using themselves is what gets me. I do like the board for sure. I mean, I have the downshift board, which is which is the one that I obviously have, and I'm a huge fan of it. I use it throughout the whole game.
Yeah,
driver's obviously the hardest to use it, but I'll use it for chipping too. Yeah. Right, get people to make sure that they're staying on that side, and then almost exaggerating, of course, going a little bit more. I'm going to go B.
B. And Tyson, you were?
I was D. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going D also. So for reasons I've previously said, people do it late. It's tough to hit golf balls. They don't do it well. I agree, like we did on the podcast earlier about using it for chipping and some of those shots. But even good players struggle on them because ground is moving and it's tough to hit a golf shot. And then you feel like, oh, maybe I should just hit off my right side because then at least I can hit the ball. Because the board's not moving.
I think under supervision and with some video, they're absolutely useful. Very useful.
They're very useful then. Mm-hmm. I have the Y-Golf ones that I prefer the most because it has a flat part in the middle. So you can stay a little bit more in the middle too. It doesn't fall to one side or the other. Number five, a putting mirror that, you know, you put around your ball kind of, and then so you can see like your eye line or shoulder alignment or something.
Yeah. Why don't you go first on this one then, Eric?
I don't like these at all because very few good players have their eyes directly over the ball. Almost none have their ever in the history of anything have their eyes outside the ball. And this encourages people to get their eyes directly over the ball. It also, I putt really well with a slightly open stance. And there are good putters that putt with a stance that's open. Very few closed, but some have been. So I don't like that it tends to force players into thinking they need their eyes directly over the ball and everything square. So I'm going to say D.
Okay. Again, the by themselves is that ranks so poorly for me. You got to have a coach that's going, here's where your eyes need to be because of X, Y, Z. And like all everything you just listed, if you don't have that, you might be setting up improperly and then it might be making it harder for you.
Yeah, and I think I would probably be in the middle as well. I don't love it for a player by themselves. I think there are better useful things for them to do, like again, like speed control. I would be in that C range. I use them a lot. I'll see people whose eyes are way too inside. I agree. I don't think our eyes need to be directly over the ball. I will use it a lot of times strictly only because I see a player's eyes are 2 feet inside the ball. They have no clue what that setup feels like. So I'd be in that C range.
Was that your vote also, Jason?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Almost golf balls or foam golf balls. This is a Jason segment, right? These last three or so.
Yeah, this is like, I scrolled down. And I was like, oh,
you weren't supposed to scroll ahead.
Yeah. Well, just like, as soon as you're done, the putting mirror, I scrolled down. No cheating.
Foam golf balls, basically.
Foam golf balls. Huge fan. And I think that no matter what level you are, obviously, if you're a tour player, you're not using foam balls, unless you're Rory McIlroy, maybe when he's locked up in that room there. But I think everybody can benefit from these because I tell this to my students all the time, is that you can hit these at home into like a bed sheet, mm-hmm. like in your backyard. Like you can get reps in when you thought you couldn't. And there's nothing's going to go wrong with that maybe you already have going poorly in your swing, but at least you're hitting, you know, making swings, getting your body going. And then obviously, you know, we're going to cover this, I'm sure, in the next couple of episodes, but the ability to practice things with the removal of some amount of pressure is huge for golfers. I'm a big fan. I'm going S.
Okay. A lot of pressure, Tyson.
I mean, I'm not going to say much. I'm just going to say S because I agree. I think reps, right? Reps are great. Being able to actually hit at something, obviously, versus just taking air swings are great. I think I agree. It's an S.
All right. Hey, I'm going S2. We need unanimous decisions there. And I was going to do that before either of you said anything and maybe be talked down to A if we didn't have unanimity. I think that's the word. But
right.
Yeah, there's not much you can do wrong. And weirdly, they're actually pretty close. If you use like a photo, like a Foresight launch monitor or any of the other ones that use optics, you know, cameras, not radar, they actually get kind of close. Like, obviously, the smash factors could be a little bit lower and some of the other things, but the spin is close. So, like, they will compute almost the distance. Not that you're looking at them for distance, but it's kind of funny that you could play sim golf playing foam golf balls. You just have to slightly adjust yardages and things. But otherwise, they kind of behave.
Love that.
Similar to a golf ball for the first, you know, 3 feet of ball flight. So, it's kind of fun to use them for that. Okay, number seven is the swing guide, which is the thing that clips to the shaft and hits your forearm. Basically, the little yellow often.
Yeah, I think, just again, from a student perspective, it's pretty low on my list. It's a D or an F for me. I just don't see them using it right. I have multiple of these, and I will use them for certain players very, very sparingly and always talk about sort of the downfalls of it. I'm going to go F for student only use.
Man. I can't go F because that's too mean.
That's too mean.
It's too mean, yeah. but there's so many things that go wrong with that, especially if you don't put it in the correct spot for your grip, and then it's just a mess from
no one.
Nobody puts it in the right spot.
Yeah, I'm.
You know, and then something I always find too when I use this with people, because a lot of times it'll be honestly for the newer golfer who has way too much flexion in their lead wrist. They sit and all they do is they just watch their hands go as they go back. It's like, I don't want you practicing at home watching your hands as you go back every single swing, right?
Yeah, the newer golfers fold the right wrist back and the left wrist goes into flexion, like you said, and that thing is like pointing out toward the ball, you know, partway back. Yeah.
Yes.
Come on, F, Jason.
Well, if you guys go F, I'll join in.
The Americans are persuading him to go F.
We're filibustering. This requires us to all be in agreement, so I'm putting it down in F.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
In the hands of an instructor, it can be very good. I use it myself sometimes. I have a student that uses it religiously and loves the way he hits the ball when he does it, but he's very picky about where he puts it. Mm. And even like your wrist and forearm thickness can affect like when it hits you.
Yeah.
Number 8, an alignment stick. Not really a training aid, but I threw it on here.
I'm going to go A tier for the ability to use it so many different ways and how cheap they are. It's hard to mess them up. You know what I mean? Like even if you're putting it behind you, if it's really close to where you should be able to still get the benefit from it. And then, you know, they're $20, something like that, or cheaper. There's so many uses for them. I'm going to A.
Yeah, I think it's an easy A. You know, I think every golfer should have a couple in their bag. Like Jason said, it is hard. Obviously, you can mess them up. You can lay them on the ground or stick them in the ground, maybe in the wrong spot. But there's still going to be a lot of benefit for that player, even if they do put it maybe slightly in the wrong spot. I definitely think it's an A.
All right. Well, I was considering going S, but since that would require agreement, I'll go A as well. Number 9 is the divot board.
This is a good one. I haven't personally used this yet. I do have a couple students that have it, and the ability to get good feedback, which I'm a big fan of, is important. Not a huge fan of that. And I know they came out with the ability to like recess it and in their own mat, or obviously if you can slide it just past your mat so it's, you know, flush to the ground. But even from that, the ability to control your arc, if it is a bit higher, knowing, hey, it is higher, goes a long way. The ability to make a swing again without a ball there, at least at the beginning, is good. Where it is on the tier, I'm going to go B.
Yeah, I haven't used it either, but just like obviously I know about it, thinking about it. I think once again, there's a lot of great feedback. You could even use a foam ball with this, right? I think I would probably put it in the B range as well.
All right. In the interest of time, I'll go with that too. But
yeah,
I'd probably put it a bit lower because I think there's a lot of ways you can mess up. Like if your only goal is to get to your low point forward, there's a lot of ways you could do it badly.
For sure.
That's the only reason I would have it lower. My last one on the list, the original FlightScope Mevo, which I don't know that they sell anymore because I looked on the website and they seem to be certified pre-owned, but it's now $300. And so just a FlightScope Mevo or one of those launch monitors that just are radar devices that kind of guess at the distance that the ball went.
I would put it in the A to B range off the top of my head right now, just simply because I think if people are at least thinking about some of the numbers, I don't think that that's ever a bad thing. So that's where I'll start.
I'm going to go one higher. I'm going to go S tier for the ability to have a golfer actually know their carry numbers, their average carry number.
I like it.
Yeah, I'll go A. I was going to go A anyway before you said S because I often have students monitor like smash factor or things like that. And the Mevo does spin rate and some other things too. So like they can be useful numbers to just know what your windows and your ranges are and to stay in them for any club. So our final list, in the S tier, we had almost golf balls. In the A tier, we had an alignment stick and the Mevo or other of those, you know, $300 launch monitors, in quotes. In B, we had 8 to 10 foot putting mat, a smart ball, and a divot board. In C, we had heavy clubs or whips and a putting mirror. In D, we had the wobble boards. In F, we had the swing guide. So, sorry, I think Greg Norman endorsed that for a while.
Yep.
That'll do it for this episode. You can find us online on social media at TheSpinAxis. Also, thespinaxis.com.